Okay, good morning. And for those of you who can make it by 8 o'clock this morning, I'm going to talk about the quantification of 0157 in environmental samples, basically using a qPCR and a droplet digital PCR. As you guys are aware of, we've been using qPCR for years. In fact, when you talk of PCR, it started in 1983 with the regular PCR. Then about 93, we move on to qPCR, and in 2011, different companies started working on different versions of a digital droplet PCR. That means where you do PCR, instead of in a regular tube, everything goes into droplets. So what you have is, instead of having a standard curve, your amplification, your copy number is counted inside those droplets. And the result seems to be coming up to be very better than what you have in a regular qPCR. What I have here on this slide is just to show some of the advantages and disadvantages of a qPCR that I think almost all of us here have been dealing with for the past maybe 10, 20 years, depending on how long that you've been in the business. Some of the advantages may include provide faster sample to result time, higher specificity, and a bunch of others. But there is only one standard that I would just like to point out, that is the number one limitation that you have here. This one here requires quantitative standard curve and also a reference material. In every qPCR that we do, you always have a standard curve and a reference material. But when you're dealing with a droplet digital PCR, there's a tendency for what may be a more absolute quantification that you have in the qPCR, because there's no need for a standard curve, and you don't need a particular target to use that for your concentration so that you can, but in qPCR, basically what you do is that these things are done directly on a droplet, and you use a Poisson statistics to calculate your result. For those of us that are not mathematicians, I really like the statistics with droplet PCR, because at the end, you have copy numbers. You don't have to look at standard curve to try to calculate everything. You just have copy numbers, and from there you can do the statistics from there. You can see a lot more advantages here. I'm not going to go in too much into like precision, reproducibility, sensitivity, and one of those is that tolerance to PCR inhibition. One of the things that we're dealing with qPCR is when you deal with a lot of inhibition. And when you look at reproducibility, also one thing I like about the droplet PCR is that when you're doing an experiment from one experiment to the next experiment, there is a whole lot of, you see a whole lot of variations in the result. And also, not even to talk of doing from experiment from one lab to the next lab. Maybe some of you are very, very good that you will do a study in Tucson and you get the same result in Athens, Georgia, or you get the same result in Bexhill or anywhere, or in Raleigh, North Carolina. But that is one of the disadvantages with the qPCR. But with droplet PCR, what we've done is that we've looked at different experiments and we come up almost with the same kind of result. So basically, that result from lab to lab or from one lab to another lab is really very, very much water alike, and also where you can look at very small numbers. So this is the workflow when you're dealing with ddPCR. You use a droplet generator. That is where you partition all your droplets into water and oil. Then from there, you go and seal it from the generator here, which is your microtiter plates where you do all your reaction. Then you seal it here, and you actually use the thermocycle to do the PCR, and then you have your reader. I would say that this is maybe one of the things that is a concern, because it's just too much process that you have to take, whereas with the qPCR, just one machine, you put it on and it runs. But as you go through here, you will see that both types of technologies have advantages and disadvantages. What we have here is also one thing that I like to point out is that with qPCR and ddPCR, it's basically the same reaction. You set up the assay the same way. The same way that you run in qPCR is the same way that you run in ddPCR, except that in qPCR, you may do a fourplex assay, whereas in ddPCR, as of now, we can only do a duplex assay. Like what we have here, where you run with a farm and where, for this example, we do farm and hex or big. So the same thing goes on here. The whole thing is done. You have your target. This is your target, and these are your background. So what you're counting here is your target. So in droplet PCR also, you have the level of reliability is very, very significant. So you are very, very sure of the kind of result that you have. So reliability, precision, and dynamic range is basically very, very stable in what you have in ddPCR compared to what you have in qPCR. So this is basically how the software does the poison statistics. Once it calculates your targets, which are all in green and the background, and it does the statistics for you, just need to understand how the program works. And that is one of the things that we're still working on. And when you look at the software, which is the QuantaSoft, then you draw your threshold, then these are your negative droplets, and these are your positive, and you have your positive droplets. So the positive droplets is what is going to be counted as your target population that you're going to get your result from. So people have started really doing a lot of work using ddPCR. I just point out one that was published in the Annals of Bioanalytical Chemistry, which actually shows some of the advantages of ddPCR. And for us, looking at the E. coli 0157, which is what we've been doing for so many years, we basically look at qPCR and ddPCR. With qPCR, we use these four targets, STS1, STS2, RFB genes, and the EAE gene. We run that in one assay as a fourplex assay. That is why you see here fourplex assay. And for the ddPCR, we run a duplex assay with the STX1 RFB and the STX2 and the EAE gene. Then for qPCR, this is basically where you start from. You have to construct a standard curve, which is basically one you get from the machine that you are using. And you can see here What I can tell you here is that this is exactly what we got from the machine, and you can see some of the efficiency of the reaction and the R square. So, and this is another experiment that we did because we have a lot of samples that we were working with. So, and when you come to ddPCR, what you have here are the positive targets and your negative targets that you have here. One of the issues that we have with the ddPCR is that once you have a very high target, you seem to have a lot of concentration of target here. So that makes it inefficient to detect when you have a very high population. But the neat thing is that with low population, you are able to sort out all your targets in the low population. And this is another assay with the STX2 and EAE, and also you see the same level. Once you have a lot of target, there seems to be a lot of saturation, but at the low target, you are able to get your population or your target out very efficiently. So for our qPCR, this is the kind of result that we have. With high number of targets that we enrich, qPCR will provide the target that you expect once you inoculate your soil with or your water with about 10 to the 8, and you're probably going to get about 10 to the 6 and about 10 to the 7. And with ddPCR, what I'm trying to emphasize here is that with very low target, all the way to about one cell, or maybe about 10 cells, like we have here at the end, we were still able to get targets out, where we were still able to get about 11 to about 13 copies out of what we inoculated inside our water samples. So, this is more or less one of our environmental samples, where we took samples from a constructed wetland. We've already enriched these samples, so we knew some of the samples that have E. coli 0157A. And what we were doing here was to actually see if we can use qPCR or ddPCR to detect some of the samples, to detect some of the targets in our sample. As you can see, in most of the samples that we have enriched for 0157, we were able to use ddPCR to get all the targets, but we only got target from two samples using a qPCR. And this is really what we were, at my end, what I'm interested in looking at, because of being able to detect low targets. So, in conclusion, I can say that ddPCR has the potential to quantify E. coli 0157 at very low concentrations compared to qPCR. However, qPCR has a very upper limit of quantification on targets with high concentrations. Interestingly, E. coli 0157 are always present in environmental samples at low numbers, and ddPCR may be a better tool for quantification. Thank you.